Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we're going to take a look at the lunar eclipse in Libra, which just came through overnight. And we're going to run it through all 12 whole sign horoscopes with some brief reminders about what topical area of your birth chart was activated by this lunar eclipse, which you may notice today, tomorrow, as the week unfolds, as the next few months unfold, and maybe even over the past few days, like as the weekend and the eclipse was coming through over the weekend, maybe you noticed it even last week. So a little reminder about those topical areas of the houses by horoscope today. And then at the beginning, before I go into the horoscopes, I'm also going to talk briefly about some of the main themes that a South Node Libra lunar eclipse might involve overall. So you might want to listen to that first and then jump ahead to your horoscope if you like to jump forward to the timestamp for your sign. All right, anyway, that's our goal for today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments and reflections in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you guys, especially if you have a good story to share about the eclipse. It's eclipse season, grabbed story time. So use the hashtag grabbed. Tell us the lunar eclipse in Libra is the story that you're wanting to share something about, and then tell us your story either in the comment section or you can email it to us, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. I want to take you over to the website because I am promoting two things now here at the start of the end of the month and going into April. Go over to nightlightastrology.com and click on the courses page. Go to the first year course. We're going to be starting to opening for enrollment in the next week for the spring program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. Our first year course in ancient astrology starts June 16th. We're going to be starting enrollment for that. There's need-based tuition. There's an early bird price. So make sure you take advantage of that. And then on the events page, if you go to live events, live talks, you will see that in the month of April, we have the last of our outer planets in love talks. We did Pluto and we did Neptune already. So in April on the 18th, we're doing Uranus in love and looking at the signatures of Uranus in the birth chart when it affects love and relationships, as well as by transit and how to understand what Uranus is doing in love and relationships and how to work with it. If you miss Neptune in love or Pluto in love, you can order those from the shop tab at the top, as well as a bunch of other cool things that we have from previous masterclasses to my book that's being early released chapter by chapter. So lots of cool stuff there. The other thing that I'm promoting, as you guys know, is Ashley's Herbal Apprenticeship Program. If you go to skyhouseherbs.com and click on the courses tab, you can go to the Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship to learn more about her program, which is starting on April 24th. There's need-based tuition available. And if you stick around at the end of today's talk, you can hear an interview that I did with Ashley discussing the program and everything that it entails. So that will be after the content is done. The interview is tagged on to the end. Okay, well, now that promotions are done for the day, let's go into the significations of this lunar eclipse. Now, the lunar eclipse is something that's already happened by the time you're listening to this, but I want to point it out on the real-time clock to sort of show you the timeline. And also, you know, make the case that it's not like we're, you know, because it's a few degrees past that we're too late for it to be relevant. Eclipses have a long shelf life. So anyway, here it is. This is Monday morning, March 25th. But if we back this up just a little bit, we're going to see that the eclipse comes through. And this is, let's back it up just a tiny bit more. And I'll go right down to the minute just for fun. Let's get it to about 5 and change. There we go. So this is about 2 in the morning central time today, Monday, March 25th. And so the eclipse window, what's important to note about eclipses is that it is rarely on the actual day of the eclipse that major events occur. Remember that eclipses happen in 9 and 18 year cycles, 9 being the half life of the cycle, 9 years, and 18 being the full length of the cycle. And so the karmic seasons that they depict and the cycles that they are referring to are long. And nothing cyclical that is that long, whether you're looking at the last time the South Node was in Libra or the last time the nodes were in Libra and Aries together, but opposite 9 years ago, either way, things that are going on for that long don't wrap up in one singular event on the actual day of an eclipse, rarely. Or some new cycle does not begin exactly on the day of the eclipse with some singular event. It's important because people sometimes think of eclipse days as like duds. They'll be like, oh, nothing happened. Well, we're not thinking about it correctly if we're not thinking about it as process-oriented. And the best way to understand the process of an eclipse is to look at the whole sign houses that the nodes are falling in, or that one of the nodes is falling in the case of a lunar eclipse like this. Look at Libra. Look at the whole sign house of Libra. So that's what we're going to do in a minute. But there are some big things we can say about this lunar eclipse. I would say, first of all, give it at least the rest of this lunar cycle and the next lunar cycle, because the next lunar cycle starts off with an solar eclipse in Aries, the opposite sign. So you have to at least look at the picture of this lunar cycle in totality and the next lunar cycle. But more than that, it's really the story that's being told until the nodes change signs. And that's not, if we push this forward a little bit, let me just show you how that works. We're looking at the nodes of the moon not shifting signs completely until February of 2025. So it's late January, early February 2025, measuring by the mean node here, which is one of the two ways we can measure the positions of the nodes. So, you have to think about the story of the nodes in the signs that they're in, and the further eclipses that are going to the subsequent eclipses, that will occur in the autumn of this year. So we're not really reaching the place where there's a lot, right? There's a lot to process as the nodes move through signs and have multiple eclipses in the same signs. So give it 6 months to a year from now, which is fair given how long it's going to take for the nodes to change signs and for eclipses to start transitioning into new signs. And even then, just be aware of the storyline that's developing around the whole sign houses of Libra and Aries. Now, on that note, so there's a few things that we can say about a south node lunar eclipse in Libra. If you have not yet listened to the video that I did a couple of weeks ago previewing the lunar eclipse in Libra, I highly recommend going back and listening to that, because in that video I unpack all of the dignities that are present and really take a look at synthesizing all of the contextual factors around the eclipse. I'm not going to reproduce that today. Today is just meant to remind us of the whole sign house and its topics through kind of quick hit horoscopes. But some of the themes involve a kind of, there's a rule of three, if you've ever heard this in astrology, where if you see the same thing in three different ways, you know it's a thing in a chart or in the sky at any given moment. So there's three ways in which this eclipse repeats the same theme, and that is the theme of a kind of moment of harvesting something that has history behind it. So there's three ways you can see this. One is that this is a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipses are the harvesting moment of a cycle. They bring the fruit onto the tree. They are moments of the manifestation of the fruits of a cycle. And that usually will indicate that the fruit is ready to be harvested, and hence the cycle is ready to be released. It's a moment of resolution, completion, manifestation, harvesting, and there's a sense that something is completing itself. So that idea of completion and consummation or resolution is very important for understanding lunar eclipses in general. So that's one. Two, this is happening with the south node of the moon. And of the two nodes, the south node is the one that points toward the collection, crystallization, harvesting, or resolving of cycles that have history, of things that have a past, for better or worse. So there's two. And then three, we have this happening in the sign of Libra, which in the story of the zodiac, which is a solar story from equinox to solstice to equinox to solstice in the solar year, the sign of Libra is the sign that sits at the fall equinox. So the moment at which it is associated with the harvest and with the death of the son, and you will reap what has been sown. And there's a moment of judgment and evaluation for things that have history behind them that's always been associated with Libra and the entrance into the underworld. So you have three different signs of karmic harvesting: psychological, spiritual, narrative, biographical, harvesting, completion, resolution, the reaping of what's been sown. Now, when you have all of that taking place in a Venus-ruled sign, like Libra, one of the major ways in which this kind of moment of harvesting, completion, and resolution of something that with history will take place is in and through relationships. The most obvious Venus signification. This is a Venus-ruled eclipse. But it also, especially with Jupiter-Uranus coming up to conjoin in Taurus, another Venus-ruled sign, we have the idea of Venusian breakthroughs, whether that's in body, health, art, love, sex, relationships. Anything that Venus signifies is going through a moment of harvesting, resolution, and completion that's coming right before a kind of major Venusian breakthrough, which is signified by Jupiter-Uranus next month. So these are the simplest ways of thinking about what the eclipse represents. You know, without going into the specifics of every individual soul's chart who's listening to this, you have to look for those general significations and try to apply them to your own situation. But the next step that we're going to take today is to remind you of the house topics. We've already looked at this through the horoscopes that we did, that Alex and I did for the month of March, where we focused on this whole sign house of Libra. But I want to refresh because it's a good day to just remind yourself, this is where the cycle is seeking a point of synthesis, of resolution, of completion and understanding and wisdom and so forth. So let me just get this. I'm going to get it set up so that I can roll through this. And here we go. So these will be quick. If you want a real, much more in-depth breakdown, you could also revisit two videos to revisit. One would be the video that we did at the beginning of March, like March's horoscopes. Revisit that video. The other one would be the overview of the eclipse that I did, say previewing the Libra eclipse. Go back and watch that one as well. So on this eclipse day, though, let us refresh ourselves on what's going on. You can listen to this for your sun or rising sign. I recommend your rising sign because that will configure to the whole sign house version of your birth chart. All horoscopes are done in whole sign houses, whether it's modern or ancient astrology. It's whole sign houses. And so unless your sun is actually in the first house, your sun sign is always going to be put on the ascendant. So unless your sun is in the first house, it won't correspond to the birth chart, which is why we suggest your rising sign, because that will correspond with the actual whole sign house positions of the transiting planets in your natal chart. All right, anyway, on that note, for Aries, if you are an Aries, the eclipse is taking place in the seventh house, which is a place of the setting sun. It is associated with relationships, with intimacy, with interpersonal connections. And so here we have the picture of something resolving itself in and through significant relationships. It could be, more broadly speaking, your social life, how and with whom you seek out pleasure and connection. So we see something kind of completing itself there, a moment of karmic harvesting that's taking place in the realm of relationships. Okay, remember, these are just brief to remind you of where the action is at. Taurus. For Taurus, this is the sixth house. The sixth house has to do with effort, work, sacrifice, labor, health, usually health only in the sense of disease and sickness and adversity that we're having to overcome to be more healthy, to be healthier. But can also involve things like conflicts, frustrations. It's a place of animals, by the way. So smaller animals belong to the sixth house. But here we have a moment of karmic harvesting with respect to the topics of sacrifice, effort, work, will, frustrations, sicknesses, overcoming hardships and adversity, things that you sacrifice on behalf of that you care about. And there's something here that is reaching a point of resolution, maybe an old conflict that's ready to dissolve, maybe an effort or an act of sacrifice that's ready to pay off in some way too. Those are things to consider if you're Taurus rising. Remember, that breakthrough for you, Taurus, is coming at the Jupiter-Uranus in your first house. So this is connected to a significant breakthrough in something like identity, health, etc. All right, with Geminis, we see that the lunar eclipse is forming in the fifth house, the joy derived from one's dharma, the place that is connected to joy, creativity, children. And the question in the fifth house is always, yeah, but are you happy? Are you joyful? Do you feel like you can enter into creative flow states easily and feel happy with the path that you're walking? Do you feel like you're in touch with your creative essence? There's something here, a cycle of old karma that's ready to be resolved. Maybe that means something creative is ready to crystallize. Maybe it means that some lack of creativity, you're not having it anymore. You're the need to do things that make you happy is paramount right now. So it could also be a place of romance. For Gemini, for Cancers, we have this cycle taking place in the fourth house. That is the karma of home and family. So we have the karma of parents, of home, of dwelling place, of living environment, the health and well-being of family members, the ancestral past. And we have a cycle there. It's an old cycle, 9 and 18 years worth of a cycle that's been developing. And history in the fourth house can be very deep and even, you know, reach back into ancestral ties that you're not even super aware of. Now, there's a cycle that is coming full circle in the house of home and family. Let's continue with Leos. The lunar eclipse is in the third house, which is really the cultural everyday environment of your life. It has to do with the people, places, and things that are most constant that surround you and that define like the ecology of the environment, mentally, emotionally, physically. And here we're seeing that, especially with respect to relationships in the environment, how they shape and influence you or how you shape and influence the environment in and through relationships, that there's something that needs to change or there's something that's reached a cycle of completion. It could also be that important people in your life, like siblings, cousins, family members, are reaching some important initiations or turning points like marriage or kids. Or it could be that you're seeking some different way of defining the culture or world around you. And that is a very third house kind of thing. It was called the joy of the moon in a place that was associated with the everyday culture and environment that defines your life. It's like the set of the play. It's a love story, but it takes place in, you know, 14th century England or something, whatever. So what is the setting of your life like, and what kinds of changes and old karma is resolving itself and changing the setting or environment, which is very important for psychic health and for your relationships right now. All right. So for Virgos, this is taking place in the second house, which has to do with things like money, and it has to do with things like resources and the people or things that you rely on that act as assets in your life. It has to do with your values when it comes to what you own or possess. Excuse me. And it's also related to the development of skills and abilities that you can use to support yourself with. Here we see some cycle that has history behind it, reaching a point of resolution, of harvesting. So money, time, energy, resources, skill development, acquisitions, assets, expenditures. There is a cycle of karma reaching a place of resolution right now in that domain for Virgos. For Libras, the eclipse is taking place in your first house, which means that we see this cycle of harvesting with respect to your body, your health, your identity, your psychology. The process or development of your own individual selfhood is reaching a critical moment of transition. This may also be bouncing off from the upcoming Aries eclipse in the house of relationships. And so is it possible that relational dynamics and identity, who am I and who am I in relationships, are intimately related right now for Libras? But it can also be as basic as understanding who you are, whether you're taking good enough care of yourself, your body, health, and identity are the focus of this eclipse. And it does have some history behind it. All right. If you're a Scorpio rising, then we're talking about the 12th house. And a 12th house lunar eclipse in Libra is probably bringing up things around pleasure, sex, love, relationships, diplomacy, peacekeeping, peacemaking, and a kind of a cycle of unconscious or unseen material that is making itself known to you now, that, you know, has history behind it. And it's probably tapping into, again, the realm of relationships or anything Venusian, pleasure, art, beauty, women, friends, And what are the unconscious spots with respect to, say, pleasure or beauty or friends or sex or love? There is a cycle, has some history behind it, and it is moving through an unconscious space to, you know, become more consciously available to you at this time. All right, let's keep going. So we'll move into Sagittarius, which places the Libra energy into the 11th house. And that is going to be the place of friends, allies, groups, communities, and also your aspirations and long-term dreams and desires. Here, with the lunar eclipse in the 11th house, one has to wonder if some cycle, again, something that has a lot of history behind it, is reaching a place of culmination, closure, fruiting, you know, a place of completion with respect to friends, groups, allies, colleagues. And also, I wonder if your long-term dreams, aspirations, and goals are shifting somehow, as are the people that you feel like you want to surround yourself with. Whatever the case might be, allies, friends, groups that have served their purpose, maybe, you know, the connections with some of those people or groups is ready to be dissolved. Or maybe it's just you're reaching a transition point where your relationship to certain people needs to change or evolve. And it could also be that your sense of who you are socially is needing to adapt or evolve in some way. And then lastly, I would say that your long-term dreams and aspirations and who or what you need to surround yourself with on their behalf might be shifting. So let's look at that for Sagittarius. For Capricorns, we're seeing this Libra eclipse in the 10th house, just a place of vocation and career. It's also just a place that represents what you're achieving, how you're known, your reputation, your notoriety, anything that connects you to the greater society in which you live and your connection to the people in the world you inhabit that's outside of the private realm of like your house and your private relationships. What connects you to the world is changing right now. Your role in it, your job, your company, your interests, your abilities, where you feel called to serve or what you feel called to do. The direction might be changing as you reach a moment of crystallization or an old cycle that's ready to offer its fruits and then, you know, be digested and released. So an interesting transition moment for Capricorns in the career house. All right, for Aquarians, we're looking at the 9th house, which is the place of higher learning and the higher mind. It's a place of pilgrimage and religion and spirituality. It's a place where we seek out wisdom and understanding, whether that's science or you know, religion. It's a place that we try to learn and understand. It's a place we orient our moral and spiritual compass. It can be about traveling abroad. So for Aquarians, you're reaching a point of synthesis. Maybe some form of wisdom or a paradigm that served you in the past is ready to be released. Maybe new wisdom or understanding or the shaping or developing of a new philosophy is coming about because you're ready to evolve and shift and an old understanding is passing away. Or maybe this is just speaking to the continued development of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in some specific field. And maybe it's also about the fruits of your labor. If you put in a lot of hours studying something, a lunar eclipse in this house may suggest that you're going to reap some of the benefits of the work that you've put in to understanding, studying, learning, traveling, spiritual practice. So this is a transit that looks like a transit of wisdom for Aquarians. Now, finally, we'll have Pisces, which is placing the lunar eclipse into the 8th house, a place that I like to talk about as the metaphorical blood bank, donations of life force and that go back and forth. Here, though, I wonder about soul contracts that are ready to be released, that have served their purpose, or whose gifts are fruiting right now, or whose limitations are showing themselves. And that might mean that you are ready to get out of some exchanges with other people, while other relationships are really showing the benefits that have come from putting in effort and labor and giving something to get back something. Debts are being paid off. Maybe there's a sense of cycles of karma that are burning off through the balancing of the scales, and that might come with a feeling of paying off debts. But that's an eclipse that certainly suggests the culmination or completion of various soul contracts, karmic debts, and exchanges with other people for better or worse. So those are your 12 whole sign house reminders. This is where to look or maybe start your reflection. Your journaling could start with the topics of those houses. The other thing I recommend is just letting the eclipses speak. If the significations of the houses don't resonate, then just watch, pay attention, listen. It's a very good time to go within, to take some time for prayer, meditation, journaling, walking, any space you can get into that constitutes a flow, where you let go of the active controlling, you know, premeditating mind that's trying to control and solve everything, and just be open to receive and notice. You put yourself into a situation like that regularly around eclipses. And in my experience, you'll just be able to receive some of the guidance and insight that the eclipses are offering. It's good to put yourself in that kind of receptive flow state if possible. All right, that's what I've got for today. As you guys know, I have been on a little spring break vacation. We had a bunch of guest speakers who came in last week. There's some more things I'm sharing this week as I don't get back until the end of the week. And so in advance, I've prepared some content to share that I think you guys will like, and then regular content will resume next week. But we will have, there is some really good topics on the schedule for this week as well. So let me just take a look so you know kind of what's coming. On Friday, I will have April's astrological overview. So I'll be back, and you have a video for me that I've prepared looking at all the major transits of April on Friday. I'm also doing the next episode in the Planets in Profile series on the moon. So we'll be taking the moon through Cancer with Kaylee's spoken word poetry. That'll be Thursday. And then Tuesday and Wednesday this week, I have two sample talks from our guest speaker series. And I want to remind you guys, because I guess I spaced on this, the guest speaker series is free. And it's once quarterly that we have three guest speakers. You can always look at that on the Nightlight Astrology website. If you go under the events tab, there's a speaker series. They're all free to register for, to receive the links for, and you get the replay link for free as well. That's provided to us thanks to all of your generosity through the Kickstarter, that we bring those speakers out, pay them, and make that free for everyone. So be sure to check that out, because there's some cool talks here in March, and you could pick up the replay, or you could check out the ones that are still to come. So be sure that you look at that too. I've promoted that a few times recently, but just in case you missed it, those are free events that are coming up here at the end of March. All right. Well, stick around after I sign off, because there's an interview I did with Ashley if you want to learn more about the Herbal Apprenticeship Program. But other than that, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and that you are poised to receive all of the blessings and benefits of this beautiful eclipse. All right. Take it easy. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. I'm really happy to be joined by my wife, Ashley, who is an herbalist. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
And yeah, I'm really excited to be helping Ashley promote her upcoming program, which is something that you actually began teaching many years ago, this herbal apprenticeship program. I think it was, 2011 or 12 that it got started, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been over 10 years I've been offering this course, and yeah, it's my favorite thing to teach.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because some people on my channel, most people know you because you pop on here or there. We talk about herbs and astrology. There's an attraction in our marriage and an attraction in the subject matter that is old. Like, we've been together for, 14 years in our relationship going on. And we've always had a fascination with each other's areas of expertise. And we've done lots of things to marry them together over the years, in addition to literally getting married. And and actually, herbalists and astrologers have married the subjects of herbs and planets together for thousands of years as well. Now, your program is focused on, herbalism. It's not an astrology course, but there is certainly a lot of overlap in terms of the energetics and the spiritual approach to herbalism that you take. And so I was hoping that we could start off just by telling people a little bit about the program. You're coming to this after taking a little bit of time on maternity leave. Our kids were not yet in school. Now they are. You're coming back to work. This is really exciting. The new program launches at the end of April. I'm going to put it up on the screen so people can see it. You can find it at skyhouseherbs.com. Enrollment is open now. The course begins. You go under Courses, Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship at the end of April. Tell us about it.
Well, this course, I guess my goal in redesigning the apprenticeship course that I've been teaching for 10 years is to make it even more personal and to allow people to study the material, digest it at their own pace. So what it's going to be is a combination of kind of three main parts. The first one is the recorded material. So there's going to be modules that will be released and people can listen to them as they, you know, as they have time. The second part are live classes where we will meet live on Zoom and talk about the module, I'll answer questions, I'll give even more information about it. And then the third part is the sacred plant pairings. And so I've always taught the herbal portion, like the plant diets, one at a time, but this year I'm going to do it in pairs because I think you can learn a lot by comparing and contrasting herbs. So for every module, you'll have two herbs to study and you'll get a little cheat sheet about them before you start the module. And then you'll have an opportunity to work with those two plants and blend them and keep them separate and just really work with them closely. Because my goal is that I want people to be able to find information that they can really use in their own lives, maybe with clients, whether they have a professional herbal practice or maybe they're a therapist in a different field, that they'll know these plants so that they can work with them really comfortably.
I love the different modules that you have, just so we can preview them for people. Module one is Vitalism and the Heart of Herbalism. Module two, Building Your Home Apothecary. They're so diverse. I love module three is my favorite, Plant Spirit Medicine, Energetics and Chemistry. You have such a holistic approach. It's what I've always loved about your teaching. You'll teach about the doctrine of signatures. You'll talk to people about how to communicate with plants, how to think of them as teachers that are living beings, that have personalities that aren't just, you know, phytochemistry or whatever, but you will also teach phytochemistry. And I think that you have this really well-rounded way of helping people be intelligent about the plants, about the body, about the systems of the body, but also not afraid to use energetic systems, not afraid to take something from the kinds of energetics that ancient mystics were working with, whether that's the elements or whether that's, you know, some of the overlay with things like Ayurveda, Chinese medicine. You take what's useful on a symbolic and energetic plane and on a personal connection level with the plants, and you marry it to really smart scientific research. I think that that's rare. You don't see that a lot.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. To me, it's all language. They're just different languages that we talk about the same thing. And I think the more diverse our languages as herbalists, the more we can reach more people. And that's kind of my goal. Like, I want everyone to like be able to identify plants, use plants. So we need to diversify the languages we speak. So we can talk with our physicians. So we can talk with a therapist. We can talk with a mystic, right? We can talk with children. And we have a language that everyone can use.
You talk in the program, in your modules, you have stuff on digestive and gut health. You have stuff on detoxification, colds and flus, and, you know, dealing with virus seasons. You talk about tissue states, and you're talking about how to give things to your kids for, you know, helping them maybe at times even relax before bed at night. We use a lot of different things with our kids. I love this, that you have called this a community herbalist. What is a community herbalist, so that people can understand that definition? Because sometimes people might look at a course like this and think, gosh, unless I go to an accredited university for, you know, 8 years and learn all about chemistry, I have no right or business suggesting herbs to people or using herbs. That's just not true. And that's not the history of how folk herbal medicine has been used or taught. So what do you mean when you say community herbalist?
I think you said it perfectly. This is the people's medicine, and our grandmothers and great grandparents used plants as medicine. There's nothing actually that like hard about the practice of herbal medicine. It's just getting to know the plants and getting to know the times when they're most useful. I really envision that this course, people can take it and yes, use it for themselves, number one, because I think a lot changes when we have the personal experience, and then using it in your family, whether that's just, you know, maybe making a tea for your dog, or, you know, if you have kids, or maybe you just have a partner, maybe you have plants you can use, and we'll talk about taking care of a garden, but using it for yourself, for whoever's immediately around you, and then taking it beyond that, because it's likely that at some point you're going to be talking with someone. They're going to say, oh, you know, I've got this digestion thing and I've tried this and this. And they might say, hey, you're studying herbs. Is there anything that you would recommend? And you know what? You'll probably have a few ideas. And that, you know, you never know how one way that you help someone out there in the world might trickle and then help others and more people. So I think through the self-knowledge and studying this knowledge in your own body, it'll naturally, it's like, you know, impossible for it not to spread out and start to affect the broader community.
Yeah, I think that's really important. This is also for that reason, because we have a vision. I mean, you guys know through my Kickstarter, you guys helped us build a community herbal medicine garden that Ashley's been hosting free and donation-based events out of, that the donations go back to right back into the garden and just growing the medicine that we then find ways of harvesting and giving to other people or letting other people come and harvest. We have a vision. We always have, back to the days when we had our yoga studio in Maryland. We have always had a vision of making this sacred knowledge accessible to people. And that is both there in this program in terms of the way you're framing what it means to be an herbalist. It might mean that you're a professional and you see clients and you could continue beyond this program developing the skills to do that. This would certainly set you up for success. You could also go forward and be someone who uses what you know with friends and family and yourself. And that's an incredible set of tools to have. The program's also very accessible from both a programming standpoint and a price standpoint. I'll take you back over and show everybody. The programs, the modules are pre-recorded, but then you meet outside of the modules for discussion, community, Q&A, and sort of development and integration. So people can attend those live. If they miss those integration sessions, they can also watch the replays of those. So
absolutely, yeah.
Anyone could take this at their own rate, you know, as slowly or as quickly as you wanted to really soak it in, or blaze through it. And, you know, and then we can certainly, beyond this program, as Ashley perhaps makes more advanced programs available as she's easing back in out of maternity leave, can help you with further development or recommend you to many other wonderful programs where you could continue your studies. We want this to be accessible. We want community herbalism to be, you know, as simple as being able to show a friend a couple of yoga stretches. We should be able to show each other herbs, you know, and just, hey, this is a helpful herb to use. Also, accessibility price-wise, we have an early bird enrollment and we have a standard enrollment. And then we have tuition level 1 assistance and tuition assistance level 2, which break out the affordable tuition into different levels of affordability. And you can kind of identify where you're at if you're someone who wants to take this program but needs to work within your means and not hurt yourself doing it. And then for those who can pay, we ask that you use standard or early bird enrollment. And that's the same thing I do for all my astrology programs. So we try to keep it super, super accessible. The Herbal Apprenticeship Program starts April 24th. I know Ashley's super excited to be getting back into teaching too. I also would like to offer Ashley just a chance to tell everyone a little bit about, before we end here this interview, tell everyone maybe a little bit about your own background, who you studied with, what your influences are, and just anything else you want to say before we cap it off.
Ooh, okay. well, I think, you know, I started off as a kid playing in the woods, mixing perfumes and potions. And then I went on to study environmental science, where I studied organic chemistry and restoring native wetlands. And really from an environmental perspective, that's how I got into herbalism. And then after, you know, I realized after working on the restoration piece and joining a lot of earth advocacy groups that the problem's not with the earth, but with the people not mm-hmm. understanding the value of the earth. So then I started going into holistic medicine. I graduated from University of North Carolina, Asheville, with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. And I went on to get my, that was my undergrad. And then I got my master's from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. It was then called Thai Sophia. But my teachers there, you know, I had such a great blend of teachers, really scientific minds, like Simon Mills from the UK and Kevin Spellman, who is like a chemistry genius. He's also an Ayurvedic practitioner, studied with Dr. Vasant Lad. Matthew Prisco, medicine maker from Galen's Way out in California. So I had a really wonderful, diverse variety of teachers in that 3-year full-time master's level program. And then after that, I went on to study with Matthew Wood pretty intensively because I liked his energetics. I liked the way he spoke about the plants and his personal experience working with low dose, drop dose medicine. And he has had amazing, he's done such amazing work herbally with just using that method. And I've got a lot of herbalists in my basket.
David Duke comes to mind.
Jim Duke, Margie Flint, Rosemary Gladstar is like, I've only done one herb walk with her, but it was amazing. So, you know, I have shelves of herbal books and people who I just adore. Yeah. And yeah, I just feel really grateful that I've had that blend of the science and the energetic herbalism and the traditional herbalist perspective as well. And I try my best to blend them together and to give everyone a really diverse yet integrated herbal studying experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that. That is exactly what you'll get if you sign up for Ashley's program, which I encourage you to do. If this is the kind of thing that interests you, you won't regret it. It's a fantastic course with someone I absolutely love, obviously, but also like a really, truly fantastic human being and teacher of plant medicine. And if you want to learn more about her, see her work, get to know her a little bit, check out her YouTube channel, Skyhouse Herbs, where she publishes weekly on plant medicine, plant energetics, and also on Instagram, which is Skyhouse Herbs. So the apprenticeship program starts April 24th. I wanted to get Ashley on, brag about her program, turn you guys on to it. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure that we're going to see some people from the Nightlight astrology world getting introduced to you and all of your magic.
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.